Anyway, let's go with Matthew chapter 9. This is part two of Faith and Authority that we did last week. And if you recall, we had a testimony of a healing that happened online. Tom Messenger got healed in his foot from some severe pain when we prayed last week. So that's a praise report. And I want to encourage you to get your faith ready to be strengthened tonight and for the anointing that abides within you, within me, that's here because we're gathered in his name, to tap into it tonight. Hallelujah. This, Matthew chapter 9, again, this is Faith and Authority part 2. Matthew chapter 9 is where we will begin. We're going to look at that incident again tonight of the paralyzed man. Let me remind you, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2 says that we are to do what? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's important to be fed. And you know what? You say, well, I'm not a baby. I don't need to be spoon-fed. You know, I'm not spoon-feeding you. There may be some are being spoon-fed over the internet. I don't know. But the fact is, when you put the word out, you lay the word out, people need to receive it and consume it, take it in and meditate on it and let the Lord build their faith as a result. So it's important. You don't think for one moment when you receive the word one time and your faith grows that your faith is automatically going to stay there. It doesn't automatically stay there. Do you hear me? Because if you exercise your faith and never replace your faith, faith comes and faith goes. Do we realize that? If your faith can increase, your faith can also decrease. And not everybody, the Bible says, not everybody has faith. You know that. It says that. So there are believers that have various differing levels of faith, and that is basically a result of how much time they get into the Word. There wouldn't be anybody in here tonight that would say everybody has the same amount of faith in the body of Christ. There's nobody that would be, you know, that uninformed from the Word of God to say that, would there? Everybody's faith's the same. No, it's not. There were some that had great faith, and there were some that were very little in their faith in the Word of God. So what are you going to do with the word tonight? What are you going to do? And I would suggest that you simply receive it and just get excited about it all over again. Chris showed me a new Bible that he's got the other day. And he has one. It's similar to this one that I have. And I picked it up and I looked at it and I'm like, ooh, yeah. How many of y'all like the smell of a new Bible? I do. I'm like, whew. It's almost like it's like getting excited all over again about the word. You know, I've got so many Bibles. I love having Bibles. I do. I'm not like a hoarder of Bibles, you know what I mean? But I do have quite a few of them, and I've got them in various locations, praise God. But most of all, I've got the word in my heart, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him, or to him, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power or authority unto men. Now this was our foundation last week. We're also going to read it in Mark chapter 2, so if you'd turn over there. Mark chapter 2, there are three instances of this same event in the Word of God. And I like to compare the accounts because Mark may bring out something that Matthew didn't, by the Holy Spirit, of course. And then we're also going to look and see that it's in the Gospel of Luke tonight. In Mark chapter 2, It says, and again he entered into Capernaum. Now you see, it said into his own hometown in Matthew's version, but here he says into Capernaum, so we know where it was. After some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Now, many believe that this was Jesus' own home. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Now, this is important right here. Verse 7. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? In verse 8, reads this way, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Now, I want you to underline that little phrase there, perceived in his spirit. You see that? This would have messed those there that were thinking this. It would have messed them up because Jesus perceived it. He didn't figure this out naturally. He didn't look and see a look on their face and realize exactly what they were thinking. Oh, no, I would submit to you that there was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit revealing this to Jesus. When it said that he perceived it in his spirit, they didn't say anything. They are sitting there thinking this stuff. They didn't say anything. There was no vocal exchange of any kind that went on. Oh, they were walking in a critical spirit. There's absolutely no doubt of that. You know, they're sitting there reasoning this in their hearts, asking this question, why does he speak these blasphemies? This man is blasphemous. You know, they were in the habit of stoning people that they found were committing blasphemy. But he perceived it in his spirit. Now, Just realize God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking. Do you know that there are times God doesn't know what you have thought? If it was sinful and you repent of it, he forgives you and he forgets it. Okay? And God doesn't bring up things that you have repented of. But here, you need to realize God knows what you're thinking. And discerning of spirits is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people say, well, you have the gift of discernment. There's no such thing. Do you realize that? There is no such thing as the gift of discernment. The Bible does not say that. It calls it a manifestation, or a phanerosis is the Greek word, of discerning of spirits. Right? I think sometimes people mistake this. They're trying to discern something, and really they're just suspicious is all they are. And they're just exercising, they're looking at the look on this person's face, or they think, they're suspicious of a person's motives. And they mistake it for being something supernatural when really it's just their own suspicious mind. Amen. So, it's very, very important that you realize Jesus actually, the Bible says, he had the Holy Spirit without measure. And you see the Spirit of God manifest in and through our Savior on numerous occasions. Here's one of them. He had a word of knowledge regarding this situation. It may have been the discerning of spirits that went on. He's picking up on the criticalness that's going on, and then he's hearing what they're saying. You know, have you ever been in a place where, and I've had it happen to me before, the Lord has revealed something to you that people are thinking? Huh? And don't walk around with a paranoid attitude, like everywhere you go, oh, they're staring at me, and they're thinking this about me. That can turn into something that's not right. You know, everywhere you go, oh, you know, they're against me. Yeah, I saw the way they looked at me. I've had that happen before, and it happened recently. Somebody said, you didn't say hi to me. Well, you had a mask on. I didn't recognize you. I said that to this person. It's like, if I saw you, I didn't know it was you. One day I was in some place, and I saw Corey and Rebecca, and I think maybe It was you, Corey. You had your mask on. I had one on too. But I'm looking, and I looked again, and I thought, you know, and our eyes made contact. And when I looked in your eyes, I knew it was you. And then you went like this, and I'm like, yeah, hey, I thought that was you. Praise God. That's, you know, but you go in somewhere. I've had the Lord speak this to me before. I'll be preaching, and the Lord will say, somebody just said this in their thoughts. And you've probably heard me say it already. Whoever that was that just had this thought, here's what the Lord says about that. I've done that on numerous occasions through the years. I just sense it in my heart what somebody had thought, and it's not a suspicion. I don't come into a service doing that. I haven't done it tonight. I don't ever do that. It's just, well, if the Lord says this is a situation going on right now, it's a word of knowledge, then you address it and deal with it. But Jesus, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, and why is that possible for you and I to walk like that? Because the same Holy Spirit lives in us. The same Holy Spirit lives in us, and those manifestations of the Spirit will happen in us. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Remember, word of knowledge deals with a current thing or potentially something that occurred before. The Lord will never give a word of knowledge about somebody pertaining to something that was sinful in their life that they repented of. Right? Think about it for a minute. If they've confessed it before the Lord and asked for forgiveness, God forgives, and he will remember their sins and iniquities no more. He's not going to bring up something that somebody did that they repented of. That would contradict Scripture. So just think on that for a minute. You know, you did something years ago. You asked God to forgive you. He's not going to call you out in a service and say, "The Lord, here's what thus saith the Lord. That sin that you committed a long time ago is still dogging you." If they truly repented of it. Now, there have been those that haven't actually repented. They just cried a lot and never did really repent over it. And it could be something that's still causing a problem in their life. Now, that's true. But once it's repented of, it's forgiven and forgotten. Amen. So here we go. Those manifestations of the Holy Spirit, just make a note in case you weren't aware of where that's at, is in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. Those are the manifestations listed there. So we cannot do like these Pharisees have done and let a critical spirit invade our thoughts, because that's exactly what was going on with these religious folks here. They're sitting there reasoning in their thoughts, in their hearts. Why is he saying this? And Jesus just turns and looks at him. You know, it doesn't say that, but I have just a little conjecture here. He's sitting in the place, and there's people all around, and he hears, and he turns and looks exactly at the person who's thinking the thought. Boy, would that nail you. I mean, you just had the thought, and he turns and looks you in the eye. I mean, Jesus looking you in the eye, reading your mail. Why are you reasoning in your you start to wilt, man. Well, amen. Remember, if your faith is going to work, Galatians 5, verse number 6 says that faith works how? It works by love. It's motivated by love. If you don't have love, your faith won't work. If you don't have love, all right, you've got to walk in love. So criticalness will stop your healing. Well, amen. That's really a good news, Pastor. Yeah, it is good news. It's good news because it reveals to us what we need to make sure of when we're believing God, not only a healing, but your finances, in your relationships. Critical, a critical spirit. That's serious stuff. Very serious. That's why when you see all this criticizing going on in the political realm right now, trying to impeach our president again. I mean, it's like, serious people? They are some unforgiving, nasty folk on that other side of the end. Don't think there aren't a few on the Republican side, too, frankly. But, you know, I mean, come on. Come on. Good night. Yeah, the country's supposed to move on, right? Well, I'm not moving on from my president, I can tell you that much right now. So, Let's go over to Luke. Well, really, we need to finish this because we didn't quite get to the end of it. And immediately, verse 8, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier, or whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. Now, I want you to see that in verse 9. Which is easier? See, he's saying it's easy. It's easy for God. Which is easier? What if he had said, which is harder? Then it immediately would have put it in the place, well, you know, maybe it's a little easier for him to forgive sins than it is to heal. And some people think that. In fact, that's a mindset in a lot of people's minds tonight, is that it's easy to forgive sins. When do you receive forgiveness of sins? If I said something to you that was offensive and I say, forgive me, what do? Well, I forgive you. You might have to deal with some thoughts of anger, you know, because he said something. But if you just go, you know, let your heart get involved and go, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to let this go and I'm not going to think on the bad thing that occurred. I'm just going to let it go. Christians need to learn how to let it go. They really do. I mean, that's a good word for all of us. But, you know, how do you forgive? Well, you receive forgiveness, right? If you need to be forgiven or you need to forgive somebody or some, you know, you just have to receive it. Receive it and say, that's it. I'm not going back to it. Well, the same power that heals is the same power that forgives. And in God's eyes, it's not hard to do either one. People are the ones that make it hard. People think it's easier to get forgiven than it is to get healed. Now, we've had this discussion before. But the fact is that healing and the power that turns healing loose in us has to be treated the same way you treat the power of forgiveness that was extended toward you. How did you receive forgiveness of your sins? When you received Jesus Christ into your heart, you just simply said, I received that. Thank you. And then at that moment, you decided to let the joy of the Lord rise up. I'm forgiven, man. I'm a new creation in Christ. Nothing changed on the outside. You're still the flesh that you have is still there. But what did change? When you said yes and received Jesus and believed and decided, I'm just going to receive that, bam, a change happened on the inside. Well, healing happens the same way. The times I have seen God do supernatural things in me were the times when, yeah, you go down the checklist, you make sure you're not in unforgiveness, you make sure you're not trying to reason something out or that you've got a critical spirit about something or somebody. Now, you go down those checklists, and then you say, okay, just the same way I receive forgiveness of sins, I choose this day to receive my healing as well. And that's really what the Lord is pointing out here. Which is easier for God? I mean, quite a lot. It's as easy for him to heal a hangnail as it is to heal a severed spinal cord, for crying out loud. What's the difference to him? What is the difference to the Lord God who created heaven and earth to putting a spinal cord back together or healing a hangnail or taking a headache away? Come on. I mean, if you start really thinking, where's the difference? Where is the difference? In God, there's not a difference, but where does the difference hit? Right between your ears. Based on what you see, based on what you've heard, based on things that you've seen before. And you'd think it would be easier to believe for a miracle once you see a miracle, because some people have even said that in here. Oh, here's an example. You know, people have said that, if I could just see a miracle. You know, the people in the book of Acts saw a miracle happen, and they wondered with great amazement what just happened before. Seeing a miracle doesn't give you faith. What produces and develops faith in you? Right here, the Word. So seeing something happen is great. Children of Israel were proof of that, weren't they? They saw the Red Sea split wide open, and just a day or two later, they are bad-mouthing Moses, they're bad-mouthing, and they want to go back to that garbage that they left. They saw a lot of miracles. They saw the plagues in Egypt, how it only happened to the Egyptians and not to them, how they were preserved. They saw all that, but in just a little while, we want to go back. You let us out here to kill us. It was all right here. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you that your healing and the miraculous intervention of God into your life has to be where you just receive it in the same way that you received your forgiveness. You make it sound so simple. Well, the times I've seen God do some mighty things in my own personal life and in the lives of others that I have ministered to have been those times when it was just simply received with the faith of a child. And sometimes we want to get too sophisticated in trying to receive, and we literally reason ourselves right out of it. You know, I struggled with this thing with my wrist for a while, and I finally got to the point, I said, Lord, you know, this just isn't right that I'm walking around with this thing on my wrist. They tell me it's going to be $7,000 to $8,000 to remove it. It's just a little thing on my wrist, you know, and it hurt like, oh boy. And so the one day I went out to hit the ball and the Lord said, don't put the brace on your member. And here's the point. The Lord said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Oh, but you were going out to play tennis. That's right. This is exactly right. And it would hurt if I didn't wear the brace, and I knew it. So I put the brace on and the Lord said, don't wear that today. So I took it off. He said, just put a wristband on. It was about 95 degrees out. This was a few summers ago now. And I put this big, I wear these bigger wristbands because they absorb more, frankly, you know. And so I put that on, and I got the ball machine out, and I went out there, and I started to get at it. And I'm like, man, it hasn't hurt at all. And a shiver went over me. I was like, shiver me timbers. No, it really was. I realized it's not hurting. I mean, it was hurting big time, even when I went out there. And I'm like, I almost didn't want to look. I took the thing down, and it was gone. And it hasn't been back and won't be back. But I had struggled with that for I don't know how many years. Ann can tell you, it was a long time. And the Lord said, don't wear that, which seemed totally opposite. It's like take the cast off. Seemed like a dumb idea to me. And I thought, you know what? I'm willing. I'm desperate because this thing's hurting. And I'm trying to keep my stand of faith. I'm going to do what I sensed him telling me to do. Amen. Which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins are forgiven, they are to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up your bed and go thy way into thine house. And what happened? Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now notice something. Notice something. They didn't glorify God when they saw him on the bed, did they? It doesn't say. They didn't glorify God until the guy got up and walked, and that's a good lesson for us. God gets glory out of healing. God doesn't get glory out of sickness. God never gets glory out of sickness. He came to defeat and did defeat, by the way, sickness and disease and everything else that's under the curse of the law. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, this is Luke's account of the very same thing. You go, how many times are we going to read this? One more time. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse number 17, Luke's account. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, verse 17, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. I mean, these were doctors of the law, guys. Pharisees. There were probably some fancy donkeys sitting out there in front of his house. Amen. They all rode their donkeys or camels or horses or whatever they had. May have been a, who knows. But these were the cream of the crop, so to speak, of the religious world, who showed up out of every town of Galilee. It says every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. How many people were there? It's quite a few, amen? And look at this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. And notice the last word of verse number 17 in the King James. It's them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. I want you to see that. The power of the Lord was present to heal. This is still for us today. The power of the Lord is present to heal in this service tonight. The power of the Lord is present to heal every time you open your eyes, even while you're sleeping. I've been healed sleeping already. Anybody ever go to sleep not feeling well and wake up 100%? That's great, isn't it? But here it is. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. In other words, he was paralyzed, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, that is, before Jesus. Now, verse 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. Now, stop right there. They couldn't find a way to get him into the house. Seems to me there's quite a few people there, and they're jammed in there, and they know they need to get their friend in front of Jesus, but they could have been discouraged. They could have said, I guess it's just not God's will. I mean, look, you know, we can't even get close to the place. That can't be God's will. If it were God's will, the way would be wide open for us. These guys didn't stop. They didn't leave. The Bible doesn't say that they got discouraged and they said, well, I'm sorry, I guess the Lord doesn't want to do anything for you today, and left. Had they done that, he would have still been on that bed. So they didn't leave. I want to point you to another incident in the Word of God, the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says that she pushed in the press, came up and got a hold of Jesus' garment. Remember that? She wouldn't take no for an answer. She had that persistence in her. It reminds me of Luke chapter 18, the widow, the importunate widow, when she went to the judge, the unjust judge, and said, relieve me of this adversary. And the judge would not, but finally he gave in. I'm going to tell you something in Luke 18. Don't you dare think that the unjust judge is God, because it's not. The unjust judge did not fear God nor regard man. The unjust judge is a type of the devil. Unjust. Is God an unjust judge? I've had people say that. Well, that's the Lord is talking about there, and you just got to keep beating on his door until he finally answers. No. It's you need to stay against the enemy who's trying to keep you from receiving your healing and take authority over him and beat his door down. Kick in the gate that he has erected. The gates of hell will not prevail against the believer who puts their foot on it. Amen? You're the church, remember? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And the devil's a punk. Do you hear me? He's a punk. There's coming a day when we're going to look at him and go, that little Casper Milquetoast is the one that caused all the trouble in this earth. He's the one that deceived nations. He's the one that did this. Look at this guy. I mean, compared to the magnificence of God, what's the devil? I mean, my goodness sakes. This little scrawny little, he's an opponent who is a worthy opponent, but greater is he that's in us. When you stay wrapped in the armor of light and keep your shield up before you, and man, fight from behind that shield with the sword of the Spirit. Ooh, man, yeah, thank you, Lord. This is our position in this thing. So what'd they do? And when they could not find, this is verse 19, by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, All of the accounts that we read tonight said that he saw their faith. Those four guys, he saw their faith, and frankly, the faith of the guy that was on the couch to let them do that to him. Because there was, as I said last week, some risk in doing that. But these four guys and the guy on the couch, they expected something to happen. They went the extra mile to get him. They're out there, they're looking, they can't get in. People are all stacked around the door and everyone's just, and they can't get in. They got this guy on a stretcher, on a couch, they called it. And so they look up. Hey, we get up on top and go down right in the middle of the whole thing. Interesting that they didn't back off, that they didn't quit. Jesus saw their faith. He sees their faith, those actions that proved their faith. And they, you might as well just write it down, they meant to get their friend to Jesus. They weren't going to back off. James chapter 2, verse 14 speaks about having to mix. Just hold your finger here, we'll come right back to it. But James 2, verse 14, remember this verse? I know you do, I know you know it. It reads this way: what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Works there is literally talking about action. Some kind of action, some kind of movement, something. With me, it was not putting the brace on that kept my wrist from hurting. With you, I don't know what it is. It'll be something else. It could be something similar to that. It may be, I don't know. I can't tell you. The Lord has to tell you, and you have to know it. But you cannot instigate in your thoughts an action that will prove your faith. It has to be from the Lord. He will tell you what he wants you to do, and whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And if he says to you, you need to take that medicine, or you need to do this, you do it. Amen. We've heard of people dying before because they didn't take some medicine that all they had to do was take it. That's stupid. I'm not going to pull any punches. That is flat stupid. In fact, it's flat cruel and against the law to not give a child medication when that medication can heal that child and save that child's life. And the people think, we're not going to because it goes against our religion. You don't even know what you're talking about, because God's not telling you not to give that child that medicine. That's absurd. And you want to, those people that do that stuff belong in jail. They do. You could have stop that, and you chose not to. Well, now you pay the price. I'm sorry the child passed away and all that, but you need to do the right thing. So the four guys set aside their schedule. Go back to Luke 5. The four guys set aside their schedule, made room on their calendar to get their buddy there, carved out the day. I'm sure they didn't think there were going to be people from Judea and Jerusalem and all the area around about, all these people jamming into the house where they can't even get before Jesus. But their persistence, their importunity, they wouldn't give up. They went so far as to go up and tear the roof out to get in. And look what happened. It's that kind of heart that receives from the Lord. Can I hear an amen? That it's that kind. Now, many times today, people quit because they're not persuaded. You have to be persuaded. You've got to hear from the Lord. You don't hear from the Lord sitting in front of the TV and just watching the TV all day, or ignoring your Bible, or ignoring any quiet time with God. You hear from God, and God will say, here's the key to this thing turning around. Here's the key to this healing. Here's the key to this situation. Here's what you do. Once we realize that he's not trying to withhold it, we just need to get quiet enough to hear it. That changes your perspective on the whole subject of healing. Strong faith never quits. People quit because they're not persuaded, but strong faith will never quit. Faith is fully persuaded of God's will. And once you know God's will, you can be fully persuaded in this. Amen? Let's finish this account up before we leave tonight. When he saw their faith, verse 20, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Remember last week I talked to you about the, you know, only God can do this stuff. And it's all up to God. Now, I want you to be very, very careful, because I've seen some of this stuff on Facebook that people post. You know, the Lord's in full control of all this stuff in my life or whatever. Is he? Or did he give you authority? See, if God, that's where Paul ran into a problem. Get this demon off me. I asked the Lord three times to get this thorn in the flesh off me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. When you try to get God to do something in your life that he gave you the authority over and instructed you to take this stinking thing by the horns, and you sit back and go, God, you need to do something. My grace is sufficient. I gave you Jesus. I gave my Holy Spirit. You have my word. You have the sword of the Spirit. You've got authority in the name. You do it. Always want to bump it off on somebody else, including off on God. See, who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, when I don't forgive sins in the respect of pronouncing forgiveness over you and that forgiveness comes from me. No, if you wrong me and sin against me and I say I forgive you, right? That's one thing, but who ultimately forgives the sins? It is God, isn't it? But I, as a believer, you as a believer, when somebody comes to the Lord or they come to, and I've had this happen in my office. They say, well, I prayed and I asked the Lord to forgive me of this. I said, well, did you go before him and confess the sin and, you know, ask him to forgive you? Yes, I did that. Did you receive your forgiveness? Yes. I said, you're forgiven. Now, I didn't forgive him. I'm just telling them God forgave him, right? And when I lay hands on somebody, I'm not healing them. That just rubs me the wrong way when somebody says, yeah, that person healed me. Pastor Dan laid his hands on me and healed me. I say, no, 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 no. I didn't heal you. I can't heal a stinking fly, man. I can't cure a broken fly on a broken wing on a fly. You ever lay hands on an ant? No, I suppose you haven't. My aunt, yeah. One day I was walking and this aunt, I don't know why I did it, but I'm just walking along and I looked down, I saw it, and I thought it was a spider, and it was an ant, and then I kind of crippled it, you know. And I felt bad. I'm like, that poor little thing, just innocent. I'm just walking along here. I didn't have to step on it. I know it's an ant. I know, don't go overboard here. But I said, you just be healed in the name of Jesus. Nobody was around. Nah, I'm not doing this for an audience. And so I just went like that. You know what I'm saying? I'll put you out of your misery real quick. You know, kind of defeated the point, I suppose. But I have seen God do miracles on animals. We had a bird one day. It felt like every bit of it. It broke its neck. Hit the window hard. I mean, boom. You know, we got this big window in the kitchen area. It's like not an actual bay window, but there are three windows there, and one's about, I don't know, that big, and big window, big glass, and they think they can fly right through it. And sometimes they hit it hard. We'll be sitting there in the house, all of a sudden, boom, it'll scare you, you know? And I look out there, and there it is, laying there. And I go out there, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to bury a nut. No, let me see. I pick it up, put my hand. And this one day, this neck, and it was flopping. It felt broken. And so I laid my hands on it. I do it all. You know, I just laid my hands on it, and I spoke life into this bird. It was a full-grown dove, beautiful bird. And I was going to get the shovel. That's how dead this thing looked. And I went back one more time, grabbed it, I'll send it. It's laying outside. The eye pops open. I'm going, oh, whoa, oh, let's pray some more. So if you can't exercise your faith for an animal, why bother with a human, right? So I practice on the animals. Anyway, so I laid my hands on this dove. His eye popped open, or her eye, I don't know which. And anyway, I'm like, okay. Turns around, sits up. And about 20, I mean, it must have really rung its bell, but I'm telling you, that bird's neck felt broken because it was just flopping all over the place. That bird ended up flying off. And I just said, Lord, thank you. You know, that's kind of cool. I've seen them hit, and I've had to go bury them because they were flat, stone, graveyard dead, you know, bam, dead, you know. But that was kind of a neat thing. But where's your faith at tonight? Where's your faith? Is your faith there to believe God for restoration? Is your faith fully persuaded of God's will? Are you need to be fully persuaded. Go ahead, stand to your feet. You need to be fully perceived that, or persuaded rather, that you can receive God's will done in your body. You can be fully persuaded of the fact that it can and will happen in the name of Jesus.